welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier, with you for an hour of comedy. Later on, we'll hear It's Time to Smile, known as Eddie Cantor's show, with special guest Tallulah Bankhead. Right now, it's the Jack Carson program, with a plot against his life, in the CBS broadcast from February 5th, 1947.
The Jack Carson Show, starring Jack Carson, with Freddie Martin and his orchestra, Arthur Treacher, Jack's nephew Tugwell, played by Dave Willock, little 8-year-old Norma Jean Nilsen, Irene Ryan, and yours truly, Del Sharbot.
Well, folks, there was a ring around the moon last night, and the old witch doctors used to claim that meant bad luck for someone. We're not sure, but we think that certain someone is Jack Carson.
Mr. Carson, what is that book you're writing in?
Well, it's a diary, Treacher. I bought it yesterday. All great men should keep one. Now I can put down everything that happens to me day by day. Won't that be interesting?
Oh, I should say so, sir, yes. It ought to be as thrilling as the encyclopedia.
I think that will do, Treacher. Gee, this month is almost gone already. How am I going to fill in those pages?
Oh, that doesn't matter, sir.
Well, yes, it does. It should be complete. After all, I'm one of the leading actors on the American screen, and anything that happens to me is vital, gripping, exciting.
Yeah. Yesterday was very exciting, sir. You got out of bed and stubbed your toe. Then after breakfast, nothing happened.
Breakfast?
Yes, sir. And you had lunch.
That's the funniest meal I had that day.
Yes. And you had lunch and nothing happened. Then you had dinner and nothing happened. So you went to bed.
All right, but you left something out. On my way to bed, I stubbed my toe again.
My apologies, sir, and don't you think you're getting in a rut?
Well, after breakfast, yes, I am. Believe me, the women of America would feel terrible if they thought something had happened to one of my pink, lovable toes. Anyway, I...
Someone at the door, sir. I'll go.
Okay. I should have started a diary long ago, and this is a good one, too. It says here that it's made for those new fountain pens. It has waterproof paper in case something happens to you in the bathtub. This makes me wonder what the future holds in store for me.
Uncle Jack, do you wish to help me now with my lesson in elocution and pronunciation?
Tugwell, do you have to go around with that phony way of talking? When I bought you that book and I gave you the money to go to dramatic school, I didn't know it would affect you like this.
But, Uncle Jack, the teacher told me I was supposed to enunciate the words distinctly, just as though I was broadcasting.
Well, pull on your aerial. Your short wave is showing. Tugwell, you're not supposed to exaggerate like that. I mean, if I talked like that in the movies, people would... Well, they'd just laugh at me.
Well, I saw your last picture, and you ought to do something.
Yeah, never mind.
Hey, by the way, Uncle Jack, listen to this new exercise the teacher gave me for my diction. How sweet the moonlight sleeps upon this bank. Sit, Jessica, sit. Sit, Jessica, sit. How was that?
Fine, but wouldn't it be quicker to just push her into a chair? I'll help you with it later, Tugwell.
Mr. Carson, the messenger boy came with a telegram for you. Here it is, sir.
A telegram? Oh, goody. Let's see. It says, Jack Carson, 22 North Hollywood Lane. Hey. Gee, what does this mean?
Oh, what does it say?
All it says is, you have 42 days left.
42 days left, sir?
Yeah.
Who sent it?
It's signed, The Mad One.
The Mad One? Sounds like a threat against your life, sir.
You think... you think so? No, no, it's probably just a practical joke.
Yeah, but who would sign his name, The Mad One?
Mr. Carson, who could there be who might want to destroy you?
Well, it might be somebody who saw you in the time and the place and the girl.
Tugwell, stop knocking yourself out. This doesn't mean a thing. A man in my position gets all kinds of crank letters and messages. It could be from a dozen different people.
Yeah, but it says you have 42 days left. Who could that be from?
Well, that could be from the, No, it couldn't be from the May Company. They usually give me 90 days. Well, it doesn't make any difference. 42 days left. the mad one. It's a little peculiar. Oh, well, I'm not going to worry about it. I'll probably get another wire later with the answer to the joke. Come in.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Norma Jean.
Well, what's on your mind, honey?
Mr. Carson, can I play over here at your house today?
Well, sure, honey, certainly.
Mr. Carson, you look worried. What's the matter?
Oh, it's nothing, Norma Jean. Just nothing at all.
Is it about your new picture?
Oh, no. My picture's one thing I'm certainly not worried about.
My mother saw it, and she said you should be.
I suppose, as usual, your mother didn't like it, huh?
Oh, she liked it all right.
Oh.
She's crazy about Dennis Morgan. She told me he's got the waviest hair she ever saw.
Listen, I could have waves like that, too, if I wanted to sleep with my head on a Venetian blind.
How come you didn't go to see the picture, Norma Jean?
My mother doesn't like to take me with her. It's because every time Mr. Carson is on the screen, I always whistle.
Oh, well, that's awfully nice of you, honey. Do you really whistle?
Yes. You told me to.
Honey, I don't...
You even pulled out that loose tooth I had so I could whistle.
Well, the tooth was ready to fall out anyway.
Mr. Carson, regarding that telegram, I think I'll call Western Union and see if they know who sent it.
Well, all right, if you want to.
I thought if I could get a clue, sir, then perhaps you wouldn't be so nervous.
Nervous? I'm not at all. What makes you think I'm nervous?
You're sitting on the goldfish bowl.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, I didn't notice.
What telegram, Mr. Carson?
Oh, never mind, honey. Say, why don't you run upstairs and play? I'll tell you what. Play that game I taught you called Ship Ahoy.
You mean where I look out the window and pretend it's a crow's nest?
That's right. And if you see any strange men who look a little suspicious...
I know. I yell out, Bill Collector on the starboard bow.
Yes, that's right, honey.
Yeah, and then we batten down the hatches and hide under the poop deck.
That will do, Pooh or Tugwell. Norma Jean, you run along upstairs, and I'll see you later.
All right. Goodbye.
Tracy, you please go and make that call to Western Union, will you?
Very good, sir.
And Tugwell, why don't you go in the other room and practice your dramatic lesson?
Okay.
I certainly hope Tracy finds out something from Western Union. If I were the worrying type, I might be worried. 42 days left. Hey, what's that? Oh, it's the door buzzer.
Hello?
Huh? Oh, gee. I mean, hello.
I'm sorry to trouble you, but could I use your phone to call someone?
Huh?
Could I use your phone to call someone?
You could use my head to crack walnuts. I mean, come right in.
I really should explain my coming to your door. You see, I was driving along, and I suddenly remembered I had to make this call immediately.
Well, no explanation is necessary. It's nothing.
Oh. But I just know I'm bothering you. I said, am I bothering you?
If you're not, my goose pimples made a trip for nothing. No, I mean...
Oh, there's the phone. I'll be just a minute. Operator, get me Adams 214W.
Oh, what a beautiful girl. Wouldn't it be wonderful if she... Ah, no, those things only happen in books. What am I dreaming about? She's probably calling her boyfriend right now. That's it, she's calling her boyfriend.
Hello? Listen closely. This is the message. The month of January has an R in it. That's right. The month of January has an R in it.
She must be going with an oyster.
Goodbye. Thank you for letting me use the phone. By the way, aren't you Mr. Carson, the picture actor?
Yeah, that's right. But you can call me Jack.
Hello, Jack.
Oh, gosh. But would you mind saying that again? Gives me the funniest feeling.
It does?
Yeah.
What sort of feeling?
Well, I had the same sensation once when I was a kid. Did you ever step on a frog with your bare foot? But you haven't told me your name.
It's Tanya.
Tanya?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's the most beautiful name I ever heard in my life.
Jack.
Huh?
I want to tell you something.
What?
You're sitting on the goldfish bowl.
Oh, excuse me.
Well, I must go now.
Oh, wait, can I see you again?
Well, you are very nice. Perhaps I should see you again.
Oh, good.
As a matter of fact, I may want to ask your advice about something.
Well, I'd be glad to give it. After all, two heads are better than one.
All right. Meet me tonight at the Singapore Spa. At 8 o'clock. Will you be alone?
Well, I won't bring Dennis Morgan with me. Okay, Singapore Spa, 8 o'clock.
Until later. Does Vidania.
Okay, I'll bring the Kleenex.
Here's a new Irving Berlin number that's already a big hit. Freddie Martin with Stuart Wade and the Martin men say, I've got the sun in the morning.
Couldn't trace that telegram you received.
Oh, Treacher, why did you have to bring that up? Gee, I'd almost forgotten all about that 42-day business. Boy, I just met the most gorgeous...
I know, sir.
I heard
the whole conversation in the next room. Mr. Carson, beware of that woman. I'm sure she's connected in some way with that telegram.
What are you talking about? She just stopped to use the phone.
Yes, sir, but doesn't it strike you as odd that she should come to this house when there's a telephone in the service station at the corner?
Gee, I never thought of that. And that phone call was very mysterious. It sounded like a code message.
Oh,
Hey, Treacher, where's Uncle Jack?
He went out for the evening, Master Tugwell. He has a date.
A date? With a girl?
Yes, I saw her, and she's remarkably beautiful. One of those exotic foreign girls.
Oh, well, that explains it. She probably just got off the boat and doesn't know her way around yet. When did Uncle Jack leave?
Only a few moments ago. He's going to some nightclub called the Singapore Spa to meet her. You know, I'm worried. I have a feeling that she's connected with that weird telegram he received.
Oh, I don't see how anybody could hurt Uncle Jack. Gee, look how big and strong he is.
Yes, that's true, yes. But this may be a battle of brains.
Well, gee, they wouldn't attack an unarmed man, would they?
Well, I don't like it at all. I do hope nothing happens to your uncle.
I got all dressed for my date, and I couldn't find a collar button anywhere. I'm sure Miss Ryan has some in her knick-knack nook. I hope she doesn't start talking about her ailments, because I don't want to keep Tanya waiting at the nightclub. Well, if Miss Ryan starts complaining, I'll just kid her out of it. Well, here you are, Miss Ryan.
Oh, hello, Mr. Carson.
I just stopped in for a second. I'd like to buy a collar button.
Well, I...
Miss Ryan, you look positively wonderful. Why, you're radiant. I've never seen you look better.
Oh, I guess I'm about as well as could be expected.
I just came in to get a collar button and...
I don't know why I don't get to feeling better.
Oh, cheer up, Miss Ryan. It's all in your mind. In the morning, wake up with a smile. Throw the window open and fill your lungs full of that joie de vivre.
Joie de vivre? What's that?
That's French for smog. But you really will feel a lot better. Now, about that collar button, I
try to be cheerful, Mr. Carson. But it's so difficult when I keep having those pains. I've still got those awful shooting pains.
Yes, well, I just
They just keep shooting all the time. Bang, bang, bang. The doctor says for a woman who doesn't drink, I'm certainly loaded.
Well, I just came in to see if I
could... They used to be in my shoulders, but they moved down into my thighs.
Maybe they're Western shooting pain.
Western?
Yeah, they always shoot from the hip.
I don't see how you can be joking all the time. I should think you'd be worried.
Worried?
Yes. Tugwell stopped in a while ago to return a book he rented. And he told me you'd received a telegram that said you only have 42 days more to live.
Oh, bosh, that's probably just a gag somebody's playing. I had forgotten about it already.
You wouldn't take it so lightly if you'd read the book I just finished.
What's that?
It's called The Case of the Unfortunate Actor.
He was an actor?
Yes. He received a note that said he had 12 days left.
Uh-huh.
And he was just like you, too. He was handsome and intelligent.
Yeah, that's like me, all right.
And he was tall and strong, and he had a wonderful future ahead of him.
Well, what happened to him?
They stabbed him right in the middle of his career.
Well, here's the money for one of those collar buttons, and don't worry about me, Miss Ryan. I'm not concerned at all.
Well, enjoy yourself while you can. 42 days isn't a very long time.
No, but I still have until the first part of March.
Yes. I guess you should look on the bright side. In a way, you're lucky. Just think, you'll die just before you have to pay your income tax.
Goodbye, Miss Ryan. Gee, I didn't know the Singapore Spa was clear down here at the waterfront. What a weird neighborhood. That foghorn gives me the creeps. Well, I guess I might as well go in. There's hardly any light in here. I wonder where Tanya is.
The sahib is alone.
Huh? What?
The sahib is alone.
Yes, I'm alone. I'm looking for someone. By the way, what happened to you? Your head is all wrapped with bandages.
I'm wearing a turban.
Oh, excuse me. I thought you tried to cross Sunset Boulevard. Yes, well, I was supposed to meet a girl here. She's very beautiful, and her name is Tanya.
Oh, yes, Miss Tanya.
Oh, yes, you said it.
I will take you to her, sahib. Follow me through this door, please.
This place could sure use a grease job. It's even darker in this room.
Here is the mem sahib's table.
Ah, hello there.
Oh, is that you, Tanya? I can hardly see you in this dim light.
Please sit down. I told Abu to bring you to me.
Thank you. And thank you, Abu.
I chose this place to meet you because I love its oriental atmosphere. Have you ever been to the Far East?
Only once. I got on the wrong bus and I ended up clear outside of Glendale.
Ah, you're so amusing.
Would the sahib desire to order some refreshment?
Abu, don't you think you're carrying too many pounds pressure?
Let me see. What would I like to drink?
Would you care for some imported Cointreau? Or perhaps some Napoleon brandy? Or a pink champagne frappe?
No, Abu. Just bring us two empty glasses and some ice. I happen to have a fifth of 7-Up in my pocket.
You are so resourceful.
But, Tanya, I came down here to talk about you. I want to know you better, Tanya. I mean, who are you? You're so mysterious.
But I am not mysterious.
No?
After you know me better, you will be able to read me like a book. What are you thinking?
I don't know, but I bet they make me turn in my library card.
I would like to confide in you, Jack. Maybe you can help me. My name is really Tanya, but I...
Yes, go on.
I can't tell you anymore. A man just came in who must not see me here.
Tanya, you blew the candle out. It's dark. Where are you, Tanya?
It is a light, sahib.
Thanks, Abu, but what happened to Tanya?
She's gone, sahib.
Gone?
Yes. She pressed a $10 bill into my hand to cover the check and ran away like the wind.
I can't understand this. Why did she run away? What?
And that's what happened, sir?
Yes, I've got to find her again, creature. She's beautiful, exotic, irresistible. I've been looking for a woman like that.
But that type of woman would be very expensive, sir.
No, she wouldn't. Why, she even paid the check.
My. You have been looking for a woman like that, haven't you?
I don't know what to think, preacher. I'm all mixed up.
Well, here's something that'll mix you up even more, Uncle Jack. It's another telegram.
What?
Look, I opened it, and look what it says. Tomorrow, you will have 41 days left.
Let me see that telegram. Yeah, the same guy signed it, the mad one. Gee, this thing is getting worse and worse. I don't know where I am.
Well, take it easy, Uncle Jack. Gee, you're all upset.
Well, of course I'm upset. I'm trembling. Look at me. I'll be a nervous wreck.
Well, maybe I'd better fix you a sleeping potion, sir.
Oh, gosh, preacher. I hate to get into the habit of taking that stuff, but I guess this is no time to quibble. Go ahead. Fix me a sleeping potion.
The usual kind, sir?
Yes. Animal crackers and warm milk. I've got to get some rest tonight.
I would like to confide in you. I am not mysterious.
The mem sahib is gone. She ran away like the wind.
But where did she go?
You have 41 days left.
Yeah, who are you? Who are you?
I am the mad one. I have come to strangle.
Oh, no, you don't. I'll fight you. There, I've got you. I'm choking you now. How does it feel, huh? How does it feel to be choked?
Mr. Carson! Wake up, sir. Wake up! Wake up, sir.
Huh? What's the matter?
Wake up, sir. You punctured a hole in your hot water bottle.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
From the 5th of February, 1947, the Jack Carson Show, heard on CBS, then rebroadcast on Armed Forces Radio. The final show in his series would happen on June 25th of 47, but he didn't let the grass grow under his feet. By July of that year, he was in the first broadcast of a summer replacement series for the Fred Allen Show of a program called Front and Center, and after some other work in Hollywood, was a guest on the Seal Test Village Store, where he visited a Hollywood studio and was in a skit imagining what radio would have been like in 1777. This is Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you an hour of comedy. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up next, a comic legend. It's Eddie Cantor with special guest Tallulah Bankhead in an April 23rd, 1941 broadcast on NBC.
And here he is, Eddie Cantor!
At last, I've realized the dream of my lifetime.
What did you do?
I bought a 12-acre farm up in Ferndale, New York, and I am now a gentleman farmer.
A what?
All right, I'm a farmer. All right.
Eddie, listen, I just can't picture you as a farmer.
Why, what do you mean, Harry? Why, the good earth is in my blood. I inherited my love for the farm from my uncle, Zeke Cantor. Good old Uncle Zeke.
Zeke?
He was never more content than when he toiled out in the open air assembling his crops, his vegetables and fruits, but then one day, Harry, he lost it all.
Oh, well, Eddie, that's too bad. What happened?
Somebody stole his push cart.
Oh. Push cart. Oh, no. Now, look, Eddie, I'd love to see a farm. How can I get up to your place?
Oh, it's very simple, Harry. You go up the driveway, then drive down U.S. Route number 1 and follow the white line in the middle of the road.
The white line?
Well, it's not really a white line. It's a row of good humor men that were knocked down by Sunday drivers over the weekend. Oh, but you'll get a kick out of my farm, Harry. Wait till you see my chicken coop. I have 15 chickens and 15 roosters and, Harry, really.
Well, wait, you have 15 of each?
Yeah.
Well, Eddie, I don't think for every one of those chickens you have to have a rooster, do you?
I know, Harry, but how would you like to be a wallflower?
Oh, now, Eddie, don't be silly. Chickens have no feelings.
Oh, listen to him. Chickens have no feelings all of a sudden. Why, they're just as smart as human beings. I've got one chicken that's so intelligent she lays 7 eggs in 5 days just so she can have the weekend off to herself.
Well, now, wait, I don't know much about it, but it doesn't seem to me that 7 eggs a week is much of an average.
I know, Harry. So this morning I bought some new chicken feed called Lay or Bust. You
Lay
see?
Lay or Bust?
From now on I should get better results because when it...
Phone.
Hello?
Mr. Cantor, this is Hiram, your farmhand.
Yes?
I've been feeding your chickens that Lay or Bust feed you told me about.
Yeah, what happened?
Just listen.
Chickens have I got? Pullets or bullets? What are they?
Hey, who was that on the phone?
Oh, that's my handyman. He helps me with the work on the farm, and such hard work, Harry. Every day, I have to do so many chores, I'm afraid the strain is beginning to show on me. Look.
What strain? What do you mean?
Well, this morning when I was doing my milking, the cow looked up at me and said, "Take all you want, buddy. You need it more than I do."
After all, you shouldn't really complain, Eddie. You're lucky to be living so close to nature.
Oh, you're right, Harry. But I can't get used to my neighbors up there in the backwoods. They're so far behind the times, so old-fashioned. Living in the past is all right, but they overdo it, Harry.
Well, how do they overdo it?
I don't mind when they use a horse and buggy instead of a car, or when they keep a spinning wheel out on the front porch. But when a guy knocks at my door at 3 o'clock in the morning and yells, "The British are coming," that's too much. Oh. I should worry. Why, with my farm, I could...
Oh, busy tonight.
Phone again. Hello?
This is Hiram again, Mr. Cantor. I'm here on your farm taking inventory. Want to check with me?
Yes, okay. Go ahead.
You got one lemon.
Yes.
That's all, brother.
Gee, I couldn't help overhearing that, Eddie. It looks like you're going to lose a lot of money on that farm.
Oh, don't be silly. Can't always has an ace in the hole. You see, there's an old barn on my property, Harry.
Yes.
And I'm going to turn it into a barnyard theater. I'll remodel the whole place. I'll hire great actors. I'll put on lavish production. There's only one hitch.
What's that?
I'll need someone to put up the money.
Well, don't look at me. I work for you. What would I have money?
Look, I don't want your $25,000. That's what I'll need. That's a lot of money, 25 G's. But in show business, there's such a thing as an angel.
Oh, yeah.
A wealthy guy who finances the theatrical ventures.
Uh-huh.
Now, look, Dinah Shore happens to know one of those fellas. She promised to bring him here tonight, and with his money, there's no...
Hello, Mr. Cantor.
Why, Dinah Shore! Yes?
Mr. Cantor, this is the angel, the gentleman I was telling you about.
Oh, I'm so glad to know you, sir. Pull up your bank books and sit down. Mr.,
the name is J. Huntington Wack, the second.
The second? You mean there's another one like you?
Quiet, Harry. The man's got money. You see?
I was telling Huntington all about your barn theater, Mr. Cantor, and how much good that country air would do him.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm greatly interested in your health, Mr. Wack. Stick out your tongue and let me feel your purse. I mean, pulse. About your money, Mr. Wack. How did you get it?
It was inherited from my pater, good old Dad. He was a painter of sure realism.
Yeah?
Ah, yes, Dad was responsible for many weird specimens.
So I see, yeah. You know, a fellow like you would add a lot of class to my barn theater, Mr. Wack. I understand you're in the Blue Book.
Quite true.
Yeah?
The Wack family tree is well known in social circles.
Yeah?
My father before me was a Wack. My grandfather was a Wack. And I am the biggest Wack of them all.
I know, yeah. What I'm trying to find out is, would you invest money in my barn theater?
Frankly, my good man, the theater seems like a rather hazardous investment.
Yeah?
I'd rather invest in something stable.
That's what this... Oh, stable! Yeah, oh, yes, 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 yes. Now, about the money.
Yes, the money. I'm almost tempted to give it to you, but my inner voice says no.
Your inner voice?
Yes.
You mean you've got another voice and you're using that one? Look, Wack, let's not waste time. I will let you have a front stall in my theater if you'll put up the money. $25,000?
A mere bagatelle.
Yes.
I'll give you your 25 G's.
Right now, 25 G's?
Right now. A G, a G, a G, a G.
Sing, Dinah.
I'm a fool. Pretty little party, you're like that lovely flower, so sweet, so heavenly. Since I found you, my heart is wrapped around you, and loving you, it seems to be a rhapsody. I'm a fool, that pretty little poppy must copy its endearing charm from you. I'm a fool, I'm a fool. How I long to hear you say, that pretty little poppy must copy its endearing charms from you. Amapola, Amapola, how I long to hear you say those three little words, Amapola.
Lovely, Dinah, lovely. Really, you sang that so... pardon me. Come in. Oh, Harry.
Yes,
Harry, Eddie. We missed out on getting the Angel with his 25 Gs.
Yes.
But I've got just the actress to make my summer theater a success.
Oh.
The star of countless Broadway hits, including The Little Foxes, the lovely, talented, glamorous Tallulah Bankhead. The reason I asked you over tonight is to satisfy a lifelong ambition. I want you to be my leading lady. I want to play a fiery love scene with you, full of flaming desire. Would I give you burning kisses?
Stop kidding yourself, Eddie. You haven't got enough fuel to give me a hot foot.
Is that so? Well, the last love scene I played had so much fire in me, I had to keep Mayor LaGuardia backstage.
But, Eddie, do you think you've had enough experience to play the part of a lover?
Well, I've had my moments. Why, in 1925, I acted in the Ziegfeld Follies, and 45 beautiful showgirls made love to me.
But you forget, Eddie, for the next 4 years in Whoopi, you played the part of a nervous wreck, and you weren't acting.
Well, I must have been good to Lula. I made pictures of both of those plays, and they were both big hits.
Yes, but have you done any picture work lately?
No, no. With my commitments in radio and vaudeville and the legitimate theater, I really haven't got time for pictures.
They don't want me either.
That's not true. They want me for pictures. I can get in the movies. I can get in the movies anytime.
Well, why don't you?
Well, at my age, I should be an usher.
Well, look here, Eddie, I don't want to hurt your feelings, you know, but let's face the facts. Now, my leading men have always been strong, brawny, barrel-chested, two-fisted he-men. Latin types, you know, handsome, tall, and dark.
Well, look at me, Tallulah. I'm dark. Really, I'm the Havana type.
I'll say you are. You look like a cigar butt from Tobacco Road.
Then you won't appear in my play?
Now, Eddie, if I did consent to appear in a play with you, I'd have to insist, you know, on a high-class, chic audience,
yes.
You know. I work much better in the presence of the horses set. Will you have them?
The horses set? Oh, but definitely, with their horses. Oh,
yeah. Horses?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, and ours, too. You see, to add to the rural setting of the play,
mm-hmm.
We'll have all kinds of animals on the stage. Cows, horses, a few chickens, and I think we'll have a turkey.
I know we'll have a turkey.
Listen, Tallulah, if you think I'm so bad as a showman, how do you explain the fact that there are 1,500 people right now in the studio watching me, huh?
Very simple, Eddie. They got in for nothing.
Oh, yeah? Well, is that so? Oh, you're on her side, huh? Well, I'll prove to you, Tallulah, that this audience would gladly pay to see me. Ladies and gentlemen, the ushers are going to pass down the aisles. And just to prove my point, will each of you drop a quarter in the buckets? All right, boys. All right, stop. Now, just listen to those quarters. Drop in, Tallulah. Perhaps you people don't understand. If every one of you out there doesn't drop a quarter in the bucket by the time I count three, I'm going to walk out of the studio. Now, one, two, three. Maybe 15 cents? A dime? 3 cents? Coupons, box tops, buttons?
You don't know the ushers, Eddie.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. God, what did you collect, son?
Collect? Somebody stole the bucket.
see here, I beg your pardon, Mr. Cantor, but I really must insist that you give me a role to play in your production with Miss Bankhead.
Oh, Harry.
I have the talent. I have the experience. I've appeared in Richard III, Henry VIII, Louis XIV.
April the 29th. Yep.
What is that, April the 29th?
That's when me rent is due.
Okay. Harry, I told...
Oh, peanut brittle.
Now, Tallulah.
Yes, Eddie?
I have got a great play for us.
Yes?
You know, I wrote it myself.
Now, what's the title? Arsenic and Old Jokes?
No, this play has a very original plot.
Uh-huh.
As the scene opens, you're sitting on stage milking a cow. A farmhand approaches.
Oh, that's the part for me, yes. A farmhand.
Yes. Hey, lady, let me milk the cow for you, will you? I'm the best milker in the state. Get this. Yank, yank, squirt, squirt, moo.
Harry, Harry, squirt, squirt, Harry. You are not going to be in a play. I'm going to be Miss Bankhead's leading squirt.
Well, isn't that it? Now, look here. There's only one way to determine whether or not you'll make a capable leading man for me.
Yeah?
And that's to try a test scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a scene that will give you an opportunity to run the gamut of emotions.
Oh, that's good. Very well, my dear Tallulah. Let us proceed.
Here's the script, Eddie. Now, I speak first.
Go ahead.
Ah, Thorncliff, so you come back to me after all the weary months and years of waiting. Are you all right, my darling? Are you well? No, 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 don't speak. Just let me look at you. Ah, Thorncliff, how I've missed you. But did you give me any thought in your long journey? Did you miss me, darling? Did you? Did you?
Well, I...
No, never mind. I can see it in your eyes. Ah, those eyes shining with love for me. Won't you take me in your arms, my darling, and love me? Won't you?
Well,
won't you? Oh, no, you look so tired. You look so tired. You must rest, my darling. There must be so many things you wanted to say to me. Say them now.
Yeah, but you've said enough.
Let me take your coat. There, there. Oh, what's this in your pocket? A letter? Signed, Jenny. Jenny. Oh, Thorncliff. How could you? Deceiving me this way. Me, me and the little one. What can you possibly say to change all this? What can you say? Tell me. Tell me. Speak, Thorncliff. Speak.
Well,
speak.
I figure...
No, you're not the type, Eddie, I'm afraid.
Well, Tallulah, I'm not giving up. I'll get you a leading man, someone like Charles Boyer. And in the meanwhile, 13-year-old Olive Major sings the new Hatsut song.
In a town in Sweden, by a stream so clear and cool, a boy would sit and fish and dream when he should have been in school. He couldn't read or write a word, but happiness he found in a little sound he heard. And here's how it would sound: Hatsut Rolfsen on the river rock, and a brawl of brawl of suet. Hatsut Rolfsen on the river rock, and a brawl of suet. Hatsut Rolfsen on the river rock, and a brawl of brawl of suet. Hatsut Rolfsen on the river rock, and a brawl of suet. Now the Rolfsen is a Swedish town, the river is a stream, the brawl is the boy and girl, the Hatsut is their dream. Brawl of suet, Hatsut Rolfsen on the river, and a brawl.
Tallulah.
Yes, Eddie, what is it?
You told me before I wasn't the type.
Uh-huh.
So I went searching and I have found the perfect leading man for you.
Oh, wonderful. Charles Boyer.
No, 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 no. I couldn't get him. No. But I have someone who is even better. He's irresistible.
Uh-huh.
You'll wilt, you'll swoon, you'll willingly be his slave when he takes you in his manly arms, looks into your eyes, and softly whispers,
"How do you do?"
Russian, you're very fortunate in being Miss Bankhead's leading man. On Broadway, she's a great star. And in Hollywood, she is the toast of the cinema.
Cinema toast. Very good for breakfast. Very good.
Look here, you Kremlin Karloff.
Yeah.
So you're the aborigine that's going to make love to me. Now I understand how Gargantuan's Toto must feel.
My dear Miss Blankhead.
Not Blankhead, not... Not Blankhead, it's Bankhead. Bank, bank. Where do you go every week after I pay you your salary?
To the Morris plan.
Oh, stop it.
Now, let's get down to business, Miss Banknight. If I'm going to be your leading man, tell me, what do you think of my puss?
Russian, when you were born, did your parents get a birth certificate or a rain check?
Russian, with your face, you couldn't be a leading man.
Oh, no? In my day, I was a matinee idol. And I'll teach her everything I know.
Oh, Russian, perhaps you can give me some tips on dramatics.
In the first place, Tallulah, to be an actress, you must learn how to express emotion. There are two emotions. The Atlantic emotion and the Pacific emotion.
Yes, yes. Go on.
These are purely physical reactions. Yeah. You see, in the bloodstream of the human being, several emotions are flowing through the veins.
Yes.
These emotions constantly are fighting and fighting and fighting. And what are they fighting for? Supremacy! You see? And in the end, who wins?
Who?
The Giants.
No, not if they're playing with the Dodgers, they don't. You don't know anything about emotions.
How dare you? I will register any emotion you ask for.
All right. Let me see you register happiness. All right, now register surprise.
Oh, oh, oh.
What is he, Eddie? Animal, vegetable, or hangover?
Oh, you'd better give up, Russian.
Yes, why don't you admit it, Russian? You're no actor.
I represent that. In Russia, as a mere butchik, I starred in that famous picture, Andy Hardy Goes to Siberia.
You played Andy Hardy in Russia?
Yes, I was known as Misha Runye.
Yeah.
In my last picture, I co-starred with Spencer Trotsky.
Yep. What was the name of the picture?
Men of Borscht Town.
Well, Russian?
Yes?
Are you planning to make any more pictures?
Yes, you see, Miss Bancroft.
Not bankrupt, no. Stop it, Russian. What's going to be with the acting for my play?
I'm not only taking care of the acting, I'll also direct it.
Now, he's a director, an actor-director, a master of two arts.
What?
Two arts.
Three spades.
Four diamonds.
I pass. Deal the cards, please.
Russian, suppose you play a love scene with Miss Bankhead so she can judge your talent?
I will give her that pleasure immediately.
Remove yourself from me, you marinated Mickey Mouse.
Yep. Russian, your lovemaking can wait until the show opens in my barn theater.
For your theater, we will do a play that I wrote myself in Russia.
Yeah? What is the name of it?
Uncle Tomaszewski's Cabin. In this play, Tallulah, you are my beloved sweetheart.
Now, that's splendid. I'm sure it'll be very romantic playing opposite you, Russian.
You see, Russian, you see that? She's infatuated with you.
Of course.
She wants to be caressed.
Yes?
Cuddle up close to her.
Mm.
Wrap your ears around her. Go ahead, Tallulah. Encourage him.
Oh, Russian, you're so handsome.
I'm handsome. Something is wrong. My face must have changed. Quick, get me a mirror.
Here's the studio mirror. In front of you. Take a look at yourself. Go ahead.
Nope, still the same old puss.
Upset you, Tallulah?
Not at all, Eddie, not at all. My little experience with the Russian has been most amusing. And you know, Eddie, I'm really looking forward to playing in your barn theater.
You will?
On condition that you get Charles Boyer.
Well, I'll try, but it may take me some time.
Well, I'll be at my hotel, Eddie. I'll wait 48 hours, and if you haven't gotten him by then, well...
Yes?
Well, I'll wait till November.
But if I can get Boyer?
I'll settle for Victor Mature.
Oh, why worry about Victor, Tallulah? Take me. I'm mature.
Huh? Mature?
Yes.
Eddie, you're way beyond mature. You're mellow.
Good night, Cholula. Well, I have no leading lady, just an old farm without crops, but I don't care. The country is wonderful this time of year because the little red hen has a great big yen. The rooster crows, he knows that it's spring again. And when it's spring, love is the thing. The donkey now brays with a tender phrase. The cows all moo, I do, and forget the grays. When it's spring, love is the thing. All the crickets in the thickets are in the mood. Every rabbit makes it a habit to be pursued until she's woo-woo-wooed. The pigs in the sties want to vocalize. The sheep now pull their wool over dreamy eyes. For this is spring, and love is the thing. The lark and the dove whisper songs of love. The dogwood trees reprise, making puppy love. The years at spring, naturally love is the thing. Is that so? The nanny goat's kid accepted a bid. The horse got hitched, and even the katydid. For this is spring, and love is the thing. Every turkey goes berserk, he longs for romance. Bees are buzzing by the dozen. The gardener's in the trance, he has ants in his plants.
The ladybug sighs beneath the porch. The fireflies are carrying.
And Mother Earth is having her fling, because the season is spring and she knows love is the thing. Love is the only thing.
The Eddie Cantor Show, known as It's Time to Smile, an NBC broadcast from April 23rd, 1941, bringing to a close this hour of comedy from Radio's Yesteryear on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from Radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.